This is Fresh Air. The more complex our personal technology gets, the more eager television is to take advantage of it. In the case of interactive TV, that now means the ability to vote on contestants and otherwise affect the outcome of what transpires, often in real time. But as our TV critic David Bianculli notes, this new interactive wrinkle actually is as old as television itself. In fact, even older.
And voting couldn't be easier. With a simple swipe, blue for yes or red for no, these performers' dreams are in your hands.
Rising Star, which premiered this summer on ABC, is the latest singing competition series in primetime. It takes advantage of smartphone technology by offering viewers a special app with which they can vote in real time. And it sounds spiffy and new, a high-tech upgrade of the voting methods of shows like The Voice and America's Got Talent, and the granddaddy of them all, American Idol, which relied on interactive phoned-in votes from viewers to declare its first winner a dozen years ago, as announced by then-co-host and now-host Ryan Seacrest.
The winner of American Idol 2002 is... Kelly Clarkson.
But these modern shows that conduct their talent auditions in private or allow judges to cast heavily weighted votes during early rounds aren't really as interactive as they could be, or as they once were. The interactive talent show, it turns out, predates TV itself. In 1935, a local New York radio show went national, first on NBC, then on CBS, and offered listeners a chance to both phone in and write to determine the fate of its eager contestants. The program was called the Major Bowes Amateur Hour, and it quickly became one of the most popular radio shows of the 30s and 40s. That first year, in 1935, the show spotlighted four young men, one of whom was a 19-year-old kid named Frank Sinatra.
We have now the Hoboken Four. They call themselves the Singing and Dancing Fools.
Who will speak for the group?
I will. I'm Frank. We're looking for jobs. How about it?
How about it indeed? Before long, Sinatra didn't have to beg to get work. An amateur hour kept finding other talent, including a 10-year-old singer named Beverly Sills. In 1946, Major Bowes died. But his musical director, Ted Mack, transplanted the show's legacy to television in 1947, where Ted Mack's amateur hour became the first genuine hit on that new medium, even before Milton Berle. And TV's amateur hour was interactive from the start.
Well, I just wouldn't be fair if I started counting the votes that are coming in. I'll tell you all about it next week. As I say, they've all tried awfully hard. As far as you folks here in the theater are concerned, I want to thank you for encouraging them. You folks out there, well, you know how we feel about the amateurs. We want very much for you to support them with your votes. Let me repeat it once more, because we do have a new telephone number. It's Plaza 74100 here in New York. We have all of the pet milk operators up there waiting for them right now, and they'll be on duty for another half hour.
Another type of early interactive TV, also coming from radio, was Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, a top-rated show that began on CBS Radio in 1946, moved to CBS Television in 1948, the first year CBS TV began operating, and lasted a full 10 years. Tony Bennett and Rosemary Clooney were among the acts that broke out on this show, which measured the applause of the studio audience to crown its weekly winners. Arthur Godfrey, the host, relied on a machine called the clapometer to gauge the response to each contestant.
Okay, thank you. And the violinist, Joseph Bernstein. Enjoy Carol.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
And Ingeborg Nordquist, the soprano.
Love is where you find it, don't be blind, it's all around you everywhere.
Well, there's no mistake about that one. The audience reaction indicator shows the winner tonight to be Ingeborg Nordquist.
The same clap-a-meter gimmick was used on Queen for a Day, another TV show that made a successful transition from radio in the 40s. The horrible premise of this popular show was that women came on to compete for specific prizes of their choosing. But the winner was the woman whose life was deemed by audience applause vote to be the most pathetic. Here's host Jack Bailey interviewing one typical contestant.
How about children?
I have two.
Good for you. How old are they?
13 and 5.
Well, that's just wonderful. Now, Ms. Burke, I think your wish has something to do with one of the children, or both.
Huh? My boy.
Yeah, what's his name?
John Vernon.
Old John? What's the matter with old John?
Well, he's crippled up with cerebral palsy.
Is that so?
Yes, sir.
And he's now how old? 13?
13.
Yeah, he's had it quite a while. How can we help John?
Well, he needs a wheelchair and he needs a special bike for exercising.
Yeah. Had you promised him this by any chance?
Yes, I had.
Well, why didn't you keep the promises, Ma?
Well, I had to go to the hospital and have my legs operated on and had to quit working.
What were you doing?
Waitress work.
Oh, boy.
25
years and that did it to your leg.
It sure did, yes. Mm-hmm.
And now you have to take it a little easier yourself.
Can't work. I'd sure keep my promise.
I bet you would keep your promise. Now, he's a 13-year-old boy, then he wants... Do you want a sort of a special bike?
Well, he needs it for exercising his legs. He's had quite a lot of surgery done. And
yeah. Ziva Birch, if you're our queen, we're going to get a wheelchair and a special bike, okay?
Thank you.
She won that week, which means she not only got her wish, but on TV, she was given a crown, a robe, and a royal fanfare.
I crown you Queen Ziva! Queen for a Day, Queen Ziva Birch. Now, Your Majesty, if you just take your place up there on the throne, here comes the Duchess with your first gift, the Queen's bouquet of 4 dozen brilliant coronation red roses from our royal florist.
The clap-o-meter was interactive in spirit, but not always in practice, where the dials often were manipulated by a crew member to rig the results. Finally, there was one other example of interactive TV from the early days of television. It was a CBS children's cartoon show from 1953, featuring a live-action host and a high-tech gimmick. The host was Jack Barry. The show was Winky Dink and You. And the gimmick was that young viewers were encouraged to get their parents to send away for a Winky Dink viewing kit, which included erasable crayons, a cloth, and a sheet of plastic to put over your TV set to draw things when you were instructed. In this episode of Dusty Dan Goes to Hollywood, for example, the cartoon character of Dan peeks through a hole in a wooden fence and witnesses a robbery taking place. He seeks help from the TV host, Jack Barry, who in turn seeks help from kids at home with their Winky Dink kits.
I'm giving you exactly 1 minute to turn over the rest of your money. I know you have more than this.
1 minute? Boys and girls, I've got an idea. Dan can't find something to throw over that fence. Whoever has the yellow Winky Dink crayon at home, stand by. You're going to draw right with your Winky Dink kits and draw that rock. Use your yellow Winky Dink crayon. Draw a round circle in Dan's hand. Just a round circle. Make it any size you want. Doesn't matter how well you draw it, as long as you complete it as soon as possible. Only 1 minute and time is flying by. Use your yellow Winky Dink crayon from your Winky Dink
kit. The troubling thing about Winky Dink and You was that whether you drew anything or not, Winky and his friends still went on about their business. And today's interactive TV shows work the same way. Even if you don't cast any votes for American Idol or Rising Star, there will always be a winner, until the show itself is canceled. Which, of course, is the ultimate exercise in interactive television. You can vote by not watching.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of the website TV Worth Watching and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. Coming up, Ken Tucker reviews the new album by Spoon. This is Fresh Air.